Welcome to Picnic Climbers, a podcast for those who love getting outside,
going on epic adventures,
or chill ones,
and don't take themselves too seriously. Join us, Nate and Mo,
as we share our escapades into the great outdoors.
And don't forget the beer, eh?
Hello, and welcome to the very first episode of the Picnic Climbers podcast.
We're so glad that you're here and that you found us. We are excited to share stories together, to talk about some of the adventures that we've got into in the backcountry through a variety of sports, and really just to talk about our ethos and our beliefs surrounding picnic climbing.
And as it is our very first episode, why don't we introduce ourselves, yeah?
Sounds good.
Go on then. Who are you?
Okay. So my name is Nathan. I am a geography teacher in a large secondary school in urban England. I teach students who have never seen a sheep before in real life, and when they go out on field trips, think that they're cows. So it's amazing, actually, through this job, being able to teach them a little bit more about the natural world, teach them a bit about just the world around them. And it's really cool being able to talk about the outdoors through an academic context. I am a keen outdoorsman. I've always been. My family brought me up. Every weekend we went outside and did things in the outdoors. That was always a very important part of our...
Like what kind of things?
Anything from skiing, a lot of hiking, a lot of camping. Those are the big ones that we would do.
And you grew up all over the world, didn't you? So a bit here and there. What did you do in Venezuela?
Venezuela was a lot of water sports, so scuba diving, wakeboarding, kite surfing. We lived in Canada for a while. That was maybe where more the camping and the hiking came in. Thailand, we've got photos riding elephants, which was back in the 90s. This is before anyone realized how bad it was for the elephants, by the way. Apologies, disclaimer. So it's just been a journey of getting outdoors in any climate all the way around the world. But in my adult life is where kind of, I guess, I've had more of an interest and really thrown myself into more new sports. Picked up rock climbing when I was at university, backcountry skiing, multi-day hiking, all sorts of things. Just been a beginner a whole lot, really. How about you, Melissa?
Hi. I'm Mo.
Why did I call you?
Because we're married. I hope.
That's
not my check. So I'm also a teacher. I'm a primary teacher. I've been teaching year four for a while, but I'm currently on mat leave because we've just had a little baby.
Which you may or may not be able to hear in the background.
No. And I'm sure we'll eventually talk about having a baby and bringing him outside and how that's gone for us and how it will continue to go, but not today. So, yeah, I grew up outside, kind of. I grew up in a small town in northern rural Canada. We had a bit of property. Our house was surrounded by a forest. So we just kind of grew up wild children a little bit. We had bare feet all throughout the summer. We would, like, go down to the pond and catch frogs and chase animals, and in the winter the same pond would like freeze over and we would ice skate a lot, and we'd like make shelters winter and summer, really, and sleep out in them, and we just very much grew up surrounded in nature. So it wasn't really even considered a hobby. I never considered being outside a hobby until I moved to the city to go to uni, and actually had to be a little bit more purposeful. Intentional. I had to be more intentional about getting outside and get on a bus and go and do things. And people cared.
Become a weekend warrior.
A weekend warrior, yeah. And people cared a lot more about, like, gear, and would have more labels for themselves, like, I'm a trail runner, or I'm a backcountry skier, or I'm a rock climber. And so I started kind of looking into all these hobbies. I'm like a serial hobbyist. I would start something and then move on very, very quickly. So some things like rock climbing, for example, I felt like it was out of my range because I couldn't just show up and do it. You kind of need a little bit of equipment, a little bit of experience or know-how or to do that kind of thing. And I thought it was only for very, very intense people. But some friends got me into it. There's our university, third year, built a climbing gym. It was a teeny tiny little climbing gym tucked away in the student union building. But it was so fun. And I learned, like I did a little belay lesson there, and I had a few friends that started with me so we could be all beginners together. And you could rent a harness and stuff for all cheap. And it was fun.
I was getting really excited at this point because this cute girl that I kind of knew and had some mutual friends with, was starting to get into this sport that I really enjoyed and was quite fanatical about at the time. And
during that conversation we had, you walked me to the bus one day and I was like, oh yeah, I've got, yeah, after we were climbing, you'd belayed me, and I didn't really know you that well, but you'd belayed me up something, and I was like, oh yeah, I like trying new things, but probably won't stick with it. Like, I'm not super into it or anything.
Yeah, and I tried to convince you that climbing was worth it.
Yeah, he was like, no, Monica, climbing is different. Climbing is different from all those other things that you've done. And I was like, well, no, I'm pretty sure it's not. But anyway.
The thing that was different was that I did it.
You did it, and so you didn't want me to stop. Anyway, I didn't. And actually, you got me into outdoor climbing because you had the gear and the expertise. And he bought me my first harness as a present, which I think was kind of a manipulative present, if you think about it, because it was like, spend more time with me doing this thing that I like to do. Here, I'll give you the equipment and the tools you need.
For a bit of content, we had been dating by about 4 or 5 months by the time I bought you a harness.
That is true. Okay, fair enough. Anyway, so, moving right along.
I'm sure that you'll have an opportunity to get to know us more as we go through, as we talk about, yeah, our stories and just, yeah, the things that we value. But really, I think what would be worth talking about here at the beginning is just kind of about the podcast title, what the heck it means, what our ethos is, and when we say picnic climbers or picnic adventurer, what actually that means. So, my dear, what does it mean?
Well, you kind of have to hear the story. So it all started one weekend in university. We had kind of a community of friends, the two of us, that like to do outdoors things together. We mostly was just hiking. Sometimes we go outdoor climbing. And we had a weekend off. It was Easter. And so instead of just sitting around in our dorm rooms and, studying, we decided to go on a trip. So we piled 7 of us into a minivan and headed to a place called Vantage, Washington in America. Although we didn't go into the actual city, we went to a crag called Frenchman's Coulee, which is basically a set of cliffs in the middle of the desert.
I'm pretty sure there's a music festival out near there somewhere.
Is there?
Yeah.
Interesting. Anyway, we did not attend the music festival. We were going for the crags. We thought we would do some climbing. We had various levels of climbing experience and ability, but we were all pals. It was quite a funny road trip down a very, very stuffed minivan. We originally thought about taking 2 vehicles, but it was for the laughs.
More fun.
It was more fun to go together, yeah. Well, because we were in the middle of the desert and there was no water source. Like, there was a campground, but there was pretty much just patches where you could set up a tent. There was nothing. There was a single outhouse that you could use, and there was always a line.
Well, given that it was the Easter weekend and it's April, so still most of the most famous climbing areas in sort of Washington and southern British Columbia are still in snow at that point in time. Anyone who wants to climb at Easter ends up at Frenchman's Coulee.
Because it's warm in the desert. Also, think about the desert. There's no forest, which means if you gotta go, you gotta line up. Or just, be confident. But that's another story. So there we were, 7 of us in Washington for the weekend, wanting to climb. So kind of right from the get-go of the trip, the drive down showed some various priorities. Nathan, what were your priorities?
Well, I was there to climb, wasn't I?
you were there to climb.
I had visions of early wake-ups, alarms, like quick breakfast of instant oats, instant coffee, blah, and kind of on the rock before the sun hits it. I had, previous to the drive down, I had found all of the climbs in the book that I wanted to do.
Circled them in the guidebook.
Yeah, so I was prepared. I had my weekend sorted and planned.
It was a climbing weekend.
However, the girls on the trip had something else in mind. They wanted lie-ins. They wanted cooked breakfast.
It was a holiday weekend. We were on a vacation. Well, we had Google Docs weeks in advance saying who would bring what meals and food and making sure that we had all the gear, cooking gear, not climbing gear. That was up to Nathan.
So the girls won out in the end. It was hours after sunrise by the time we actually were in a position where we were ready to do any sort of climbing.
But think about it was good. Okay, so we woke up from the time, we had a little bit of a sleep in, we had a hot cooked breakfast, we're talking bacon and eggs and fresh coffee and full-on breakfast wraps or whatever we had, and then we had to pack up all our gear, which took a while, and make sure we had everything that we needed for the day. And it's the desert, so it's super cold in the morning and the evening, and then really hot in the day, so we had to have all our layers ready. Anyway, it took a while. And then, as we said before, there was the lineup to the toilets, which we did not anticipate. We thought having a bathroom break would be quick. And then the seven of us rocked up to the single outhouse, and there was a line of 20 people. And I think somebody was in there having a hard time. So it was a while.
I seem to remember that the outhouse was just about full. Was it?
Oh, gross. We don't want to talk about that on the first episode. Gross. Sorry. Gross. Anyway, yeah, so we eventually got to the trailhead because the crag that we wanted to actually climb at was a bit of a hike away from the campground. There was climbing routes right next to the campground, but you wanted to kind of get away from the crowds, pick your own spot, and there was cooler views, wasn't there?
Those were the near ones were the ones that had people on them by 8 in the morning.
Right.
So by...
Oh, they were all
time
full,
it was,
yeah.
We had to go to the very last crag furthest away.
It was for the views. It had better views.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway, so it was quite a hike. So by the time we got to the actual trailhead, which was on the top of a cliff, and essentially we had to go down one side of the cliff and kind of through a tunnel and then up the other side of the cliff. There was three layers of rock, and we had to get to, I think, the middle layer, and we were on the top layer at the campsite. So anyway, it's a bit of a trek. By the time we got started, it was snack time. So I'm pretty sure the hike itself took a lot longer because there was some bags of crisps, chips open that were getting passed back and forth. And we had to actually climb through some tunnels in the rock. So this bag of crisps just kind of got passed back and forth as we made it way. We couldn't crush them. Snacks are important.
We eventually got there. We eventually sort of set ourselves up and sort of climbed one or two things. I was, as far as I was concerned, we were just getting warmed up when it was announced that it was lunchtime.
It was definitely lunchtime.
We had the king of faffing, Tim, who had was already opening his Texan imported Shinerbock beer.
Yeah. That was an important part of the day.
And I think the girls were laying about in the sun.
No. You have to understand. Like I said, we had Google Docs, planning food. We had gourmet sandwiches. And, they were not pre-made. We had brought all the ingredients so it could be, fresh cut tomatoes and lettuce and all this stuff. So it took a while to actually set up our sandwiches, and we ate them, and by then the sun was beaming down, and we came from a rainy coastal city of Vancouver where it was cold and wet when we left, and so being in the warm hot sun was glorious, and we did take some breaks, didn't we?
There were breaks taken, yes.
Anyway, throughout this whole day we were talking and laughing, and the poor boys. I'm not even sure if it was the boys. It might have just been Nathan who wanted to climb. I think everybody else was enjoying it, the relaxation as well. But he kept urging us to climb, and we felt the need to justify ourselves. So we said, we're not like the other climbers. We're not here to just, you know, cross off routes and upgrades, like climb harder and harder things, essentially. We're here to enjoy the entire experience. We're picnic climbers. We climb and we picnic. And that's when it was born. And it became this big joke the whole weekend that we're like, no, we don't need to be intense. We're picnic climbers. We don't need to get up early. We're picnic climbers. We can take 2 hours as a lunch break. We're picnic climbers. And thus this outdoor ethos was born.
And I suppose over time, I mean, marriage, you make lots of sacrifices for one another, don't you?
I think that was a big, we were getting married a month later. Nathan was keen to be in my good books, I think, and make a good impression still.
Yeah, I mean, eventually you won me over. I mean, it definitely took a little bit of convincing and more than just that trip. But certainly I've come to appreciate what it means to be a picnic climber, and it's all about just getting outdoors and not feeling like you need to accomplish anything or like you need to compare yourself to anyone else, but it's enjoying nature and it's enjoying the activities and the pursuits that we can do away from home.
Yeah, it's not worth it to... Well, sometimes, and that's the thing, sometimes it is worth it to get up early and to beg summits and to do intense things, but overall, getting outside, enjoying the view, enjoying a really good picnic, having a laugh with your buddies is just as important.
Just that, yeah, but even like that idea of bagging summits, I think, has always been one that I have always pushed against, that regardless of whether I was a picnic climber at the time or not. Bagging summits essentially is the idea that you... you're trying to summit as many mountains as you possibly can, and you have this list of I've climbed this many mountains, and you can compare that to other people, and
it's competitive.
It is, and I'm more successful and a better mountaineer and a better outdoorsman because I've climbed more summits than all these other people. And there's a couple of reasons why we have experience, isn't it? It's like we have an experience to enjoy it in the moment, or we have an experience so that we can talk about it later. And I think that comes out a bit in like Instagram travel, doesn't it? We've talked about it in the past, haven't we? Where some people might travel to a destination for the enjoyment of it.
Do it for the gram.
Well, that's the second.
So, yeah. Okay. Go on.
So they might go out and they might do an activity or go to a place for the pure enjoyment of that and to experience the kind of the freedom of that moment. Or the other hand is you go there so that you have the photo that you can then use later or talk about later or show people later, and the enjoyment of the moment, the experience is later, is after it's already finished.
Yeah, which we've definitely done both of. Like, we have had our share of what we like to call type 2 fun.
But I think type 1 and type 2 fun, which I'm sure we'll talk about at some point, is different. Because I think you can be conscious of the fact that something's going to be you're going to enjoy it later. But if your motivation is so that you can impress people with how many mountains you've climbed or how many countries you've visited, I think that it's the wrong motivation to have.
Right. So our thinking behind picnic climbers is to make sure you're enjoying it, essentially.
And it's, yeah, the motivation is intrinsic. It's for your own benefit. It's not for anybody else's benefit. It's as simple as that, really. So, like...
You were laughing because our little son, I think he wants to be on the podcast as well. You might be able to hear him in the background. Excuse that. All right.
But yeah, so picnic climbing, I mean, or like picnic adventuring, I suppose, maybe is a better term. Like, it means that a day hike might just be a few kilometers up a hill, breaking out an AeroPress, making a fresh coffee and hiking down, rather than like a 20-mile sufferfest where you're pushing yourself as hard as you can all day, or like... You know, a day of climbing, we'll consider the food and the views that we're going to see as much, if not more, than the actual climbing. It's just really just trying to take away that competitive feeling about you know, needing to compare.
Yeah. So why a podcast? A few reasons. Number one, it's lockdown 3, and we have been dreaming about outdoor adventures and reliving outdoor adventures and not able to actually go on outdoor adventures. So we thought, well, might as well talk about it.
In a nutshell, yes.
But we've
like between the two of us and sort of over the years, we've tried our hand. We've dabbled at so many different things. We've started a lot of hobbies. And we're expert beginners. Yeah, yeah. And so I think in that, we like to think, and you may or may not agree with us, that we have at least a bit of insight that we could share and, you know, learn from our mistakes and how to start things. So we're just so passionate about the benefits of and the enjoyment of being outdoors and of experiencing nature. And so we just want to bring as many people as we can along into that, whether physically with us or through
along the ride.
Yeah. So we just want to grow and build a community of people who love getting outdoors and are not too or not competitive with it and are not too serious about it.
Yeah, so if you tune in with us every once in a while, you might hear some stories about climbing and hiking and backpacking and camping and maybe some other random things like scuba diving or snowboarding or whatever the heck we've done.
If you're lucky, you might be able to learn from a little bit of advice, or maybe if you're unlucky, shall we say?
misadventures. We've had a few of those as well.
We might come across some common questions, a variety of outdoor sports, and yeah, like I said, maybe you could learn from our mistakes,
if nothing else. Anyway, that's us for episode one. Tune in next time to hear. Oh, you'll have to find out. Thanks so much for joining us today.
If you enjoyed listening along, be sure to subscribe and leave a comment on iTunes.
If you want to get in touch, follow us on Instagram at Picnic Climbers or email us at picnicclimbers@gmail.com.
Until next time, Picnic Climbers.